The letter to Dr. Vallabhbhaji Patel, February 28, 1948. The fourth item is to organize the much-discussed caste system as a solution of natural division of the human beings all over the world. Nationalistic division of human races is artificial, but scientific division of the caste system, as envisaged by the Bhagavad Gita, is natural. We shall have to pick up Brahmanas and others not only from the Indian people, but from the peoples of all over the world. Oh, I don't know this word. Vitiated?
Vitiated.
Vitiated, what's that?
It's like polluted.
Polluted, yeah. The vitiated caste system of present Indians is never sanctioned by the scriptures. But the caste system is made by God according to quality and work of the subject. and it was never designed for the benefit of accidental dog riding. That whatever is made by God cannot be destroyed by man. Destruction of the caste system, as contemplated by some exponents, is terrible question. Destruction of the caste system, as contemplated by some exponents, is therefore out of the question. By the laws of nature, different persons are imbued with different qualities. And the scientific way of division of human society, from the qualitative aspect, by the caste system is quite natural. But the basic principle of such caste system is to serve the plan of Godhead. And by doing so, the four orders of caste system make a headway by the cooperative method. When such spiritual progress is definitely made, the materialistic progress is automatically accepted as a matter of course. That makes the real classless design. Anybody wants to say something on this letter?
A real classless society, Jai.
Yes, Jai. I just remember, like, you know, before we met devotees, how it's like always what Prabhupada said, the destruction of the caste system as contemplated by some exponents. Because everywhere, and if we read some London literature, we can see that it happens all the time.
Yeah.
New philosophers come and they say, ah, it's all old now. Yeah, let's make something new. It always happens.
Like, you can't destroy this intellectuals,
yeah.
Politicians.
Yeah, everyone in the material world.
Every country, every period. Mm-hmm.
Well, next is really big one, so I think I'm reading fast. I'm reading. So this is Srila Prabhupada's letter to Nehru, January 20, 1952. In the old days, life was not so much conditional and encumbered. This word I also don't know, sorry, today maybe it's hard. Encumbered.
Encumbered. So many burdens, like encumbered your
case.
Complicated. So many complications, so many burdens.
So in the old days, life was not so much conditional and encumbered. The simple problems were then the problems of bread, clothing, and shelter, which were solved by the simplest process. By agriculture, they used to solve the bread, clothing, and shelter problems. And industrialization was unknown to them. Thus, they had no idea of living in big palatial buildings at the cost of sacrificing the boon of humanity. They were satisfied to live in the cottages, and yet they were perfectly intelligent. Even the famous Shanaki Pandita, who was the Prime Minister of India during the reign of Chandragupta, used to live in a cottage and draw no salary from the state. Such simple habits didn't deteriorate his high intelligence and dignity. And as such, he had compiled many useful literatures, which are still read by millions for social and political guidance. Thus, the simplicity of Brahminical culture was an ideal to the subordinate others of the society, and in the deductive way, the subordinate order, namely the kshatriyas, the vaishyas, and the shudras, would follow the instructions of the cultured brahmana. Such ways of approaching the truth is always simple, plain, and perhaps the most perfect. The cultured Brahmana order of the society would declare that there is God or Brahman, and the Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and the Shudras who were less cultured than the Brahmanas would follow the latter faithfully, call it blindly or otherwise. By such faithful following, the subordinate classes would be able to save much time in the matter of arguing or reasoning for the existence of God at all, and still they would not be faithless. In the old days, even a politician Brahmana like Chanakya would say that Vidva Tamcha Nripatansha, Naiva Kulya, Naiva Tulaya Kadarsana, Svaidisha Kusyate Rasa, Vidva Sarvatra Kujyato. Arena culture is learned fellow, is far above a politician. Because a politician is honored by the words of his countrymen, while a cultured and learned fellow is honored everywhere, all over the world. So they say that Rabindranath and Gandhi were never dependent for the words of their countrymen, but they were honored all over the world for their cultural contribution. The saint Chanakya Pandita defined the standard of learning. The standard of learning has to be testified by its result and not by the manner of university degree. He said that one who looks upon all women, except one's married wife, as mothers, all others wealth as the figures on the street, beings as one's own self, is really learned fellow. He never stressed on the point of standard how many grammars, rhetoric, or other books of knowledge one might have gone through, or how many doctorates of different universities one might have been decorated with. At the present moment, we know very well that a few men look upon other women besides one's married wife as mothers. Very few men will look upon others' wealth as pebbles on the street. And very few men will try to behave with other human beings as one wants to be treated oneself. The sages of old discovered it by spiritual culture that man's energy should be utilized only for spiritual realization. Not to speak of Lord Sri Krishna, who spoke that lost of Bhagavad Gita near about 5,000 years ago. We know that within 2,000 years of human history, no sages, including Jesus Christ, Prophet Muhammad, Lord Buddha, Acharya Shankara, Madhva, Ramanuja, or even Lord Chaitanya gave any importance to materialistic way of living. Material necessities were always subordinate to the spiritual realization. They saw it that the bread problem, clothing problem, and shelter problem are never solved by material activities. Because in the law of nature, the elephant is given the whole jungle to eat, and the little ant is given a grain of sugar to solve their respective bread problem. And yet, the animal remains hungry. It is not a question of a jungle or a grain of sugar that can solve our bread problem, but it is the question of real food that can quench the hunger of the human being and revitalize him to proper life. Human beings should therefore not be encouraged to satisfy his unsatiated hunger, like the giant elephant or the little ant, but he should be trained up otherwise, which shall provide for his real food. The wonderful temples, the mosques, and the cathedrals of the past centuries were built up to give them real food, and were not built up by blind or unquestioning faith. They were built up on full faith and reasoning, which were based on the deductive process. The Vedas, the Bible, or the Quran would ask a human being to make proper use of his conserved energy in the transcendental service of God. And unsophisticated men in the old days would follow such instructions unhesitatingly for realizing the absolute truth. Such temples, mosques, were therefore centers of high culture to provide real food to human consciousness. But in the present age, in the absence of such high culture, there is hardly any difference between the temples, mosques, and cathedrals, and the high commercial buildings and edifices. If the culture is to be revived, it is quite possible to do it even in your parliamentary buildings in New Delhi, or in the commercial buildings of New York. At the Socratation, you say Socratation from Socrates. S-O-C-R-A-T-E-S-I-A-N.
Ascertain?
No, Socrates. Socratation. How do you say it? Great, say it, Socrates.
Socrates?
Oh, Socrates.
Socrates.
Socrates,
yes.
Socrates.
So it's Socrates.
In Greek?
Yeah, from his name. Like his way. Yeah, Socrates.
Socrates.
He say Socrates like engine is like S I A N. This is the engine. Socrates. Socrates, Brahminical culture is not bound up within the walls of Socrates' ways of is this Socrates, so you will pronounce Socrates?
Socrates,
Socrates. As the Socratic ways of reasoning is not bound up within the walls of Athens, so also the Brahminical culture is not bound up within the walls of India. You can find out the 9 prescribed qualifications of the Brahmana, the 7 of the Kshatriyas, the 3 of the Vaishyas, and the 1 qualification of the Shudra worldwide. Anybody remember anything on this? Nine prescribed qualifications of the Brahmana. 9 for Brahmana, prescribed qualifications, 7 of Kshatriyas. What's that in English?
As worshipping the deities, teaching other people to worship the deities, studying the Shastras, teaching other people the Shastras, accepting charity and giving charity. That's all what I've done.
Wow. So that's 6, yeah? Okay, Shukrapadha.
Maybe it's a different listing.
For the sutras is one, there must be in service.
Service.
Yeah, this also I remember. Anybody remember something of Kshatriyas and Vaishyas?
Vaishyas is business, protecting cows, and engaging in commerce. And Kshatriyas is protecting people. And they're allowed to collect taxes.
Mm-hmm. So we will find out. I think Chatamaya Mataji read it recently. Okay, so you can find out the 9 prescribed qualifications of a Brahmana, the 7 of the Kshatriyas, the 3 of the Vaishyas, and the 1 qualification of a Shudra worldwide. You can therefore pick up Brahmanas and other orders of society all the world over. Gandhiji, also born in a Vaishya family, possessed almost all the 9 qualifications of a Brahmana. And if possible, we can find out such Brahmana in the other parts of the world. One Brahmana Gandhi congressman is quite competent to guide its principle, whereas thousands other Shudra congressmen can only help to break it up into pieces. Thus, if you want to approach the absolute truth by new ways in harmony with the present environment, we should try to be true to one another in the qualified way of Brahminical culture. Only those in the three qualified Brahmanas from all parts of the world should combine to guide the principles of the Kshatriyas, the Vaishyas, and the Shudras all over the world. Again, the same word that Socratian way of reasoning should be fully utilized. The Socratian way of reasoning should be fully utilized because that makes the only difference between the human being and a thief.
Beast.
Yeah, lion. There is ample scope for this new way of approaching the absolute truth, and that will only solve the acute distressing world problem. If there is scarcity of such qualified Brahmanas, which I honestly think there is, we should combine to evolve such Brahminical culture not by blind faith, but by sound reasoning and questioning. But all the same, we must be sincere and thorough in our attempt. As the humble disciple of Om Vishnu Pada Sri Srimad Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami, I wish to remain always true to you and everyone. And if you sincerely be true to your forefathers, I mean the Brahminical culture, you have the strength and capacity to save the world by presenting the Brahminical culture once again for confirmation of the distressed world. In such acts of your broadness of mind, I am always at your service, awaiting your reply with interest. Church was letter to me. Who was Socrates?
Socrates?
Yeah, who was he? I mean, like, he was great sage, but what was his fault?
He was very much understood that he wasn't his body. And he, Prabhupada really thought that he was commendable, his realization, considering that he didn't have knowledge of the Vedas.
Was it Socrates who lived in a, how you call it, like? Like big wooden,
Like
they used for beer, for wine, like big wooden pot.
Yeah. Alexander the Great, he was admiring him, and he came to see him, and he asked him, is there anything I can do for you? And he told him, yeah, if you can move, you're blocking the sun.
So that was
it. And there was a 9 qualification, not 9.
This one, yes.
So, you know
Nehru? Nehru was the first president of India after independence. He was in with Gandhi, and then he was instrumental in separating India from England.
I think it was Jawaharlal Nehru.
Yeah.
Name. I just know because I think it was a street in Moscow or something like that.
Yeah.
So which prescribed qualification of a Shudra? One.
Gratefulness.
What? Gratefulness?
Faithfulness, I think.
Thankfulness, yeah?
I think so. Yeah.
We should find out.
Service. Humble service to the higher care.
Sakra.
Yeah, we
should. You still prefer the land?
Yeah, right.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
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 Krishna spa dhamo bhagavate dharma jnana dikshitaha. This Bhagavata Purana is as brilliant as the sun, and it has arisen just after the departure of Lord Krishna to his own abode, accompanied by religious knowledge, etc. Persons who have lost their vision due to the dense darkness of ignorance in the age of Kali shall get light from this Purana. So we are on chapter 26, 24, King Puranshana goes to the forest to hunt. And today is step 14. Yesterday was it A? Who was given class yesterday? A? Who gave class yesterday? Oh, you were given it.
Yeah.
But I didn't count. Such interesting though. Antakurastriyoprichad.
Antakurastriyoprichad.
Vimanaiva Vedishad.
Vimanaiva Vedishad.
Apivakushalam Rama.
Apivakushalam Rama.
Seshvarinam Yathapura.
Seshvarinam Yathapura.
Antakurastriyoprichad.
Antakurastriyoprichad.
Vimanaiva
Vimana eva vedasat.
Ativa kushalam rama.
Ativa kushalam rama.
Seshvarinam yathapura.
Seshvarinam yathapura.
Antakura sriyopichat.
Antakura sriyopichat.
Vimana eva vedasat.
Vimana eva vedasat.
Ativa kushalam rama.
Ativa kushalam rama.
Seshvarinam yathapura.
Seshvarinam yathapura.
Did somebody read it?
Antapurasyo Krishan.
Antapurasyo Krishan.
Nimana eva vedisat.
Nimana eva vedisat.
Ativa kushalam rama.
Ativa kushalam rama.
Sishare namita pura.
Sishare namita pura. Antapurasyo Krishan. Nimana eva vedisat. Apivakushalam Rama Seshvarinam Yatapura
Antapura Sriyo Prichad
Antapura Priyo
Vimana Eva Vedasat
Vimana Eva Vedasat
Apivakushalam Rama
Apivakushalam Rama
Seshvarinam Yatapura
Seshvarinam Yatapura.
Word for word translation by Sri Prabhupada. Antapura.
Antapura.
Household.
Household.
Striya.
Striya.
Women.
Women.
Aprichat.
Aprichat.
He asked.
He asked.
Vimana.
Vimana.
Being very much anxious.
Being very much anxious.
Eva.
Eva.
Life.
Life.
Vedishat.
Vedishat.
O King Prachina Bharti.
O King Prachina Bharti.
Ati.
Ati.
Weather.
Weather.
Va.
Va.
Your.
Your.
Kushalam.
Kushalam.
Good fortune.
Good fortune.
Rama.
Rama.
O you beautiful women.
O you beautiful women.
Sa Ishvari Nam.
Sa Ishvari Nam.
With your mistress.
With your mistress.
Yatha.
Yatha.
S. Pura.
Pura.
Before.
Before.
Translation by Srila Prabhupada. At that time, King Puranjana was a little anxious. And he inquired from the household women, "My dear beautiful women, are you and your mistress all very happy like before or not?" So as we know, King Puranjana took his dinner and so now he's inquiring household women about how they're doing. Purport. In this verse, the word Vedishat indicates King Prachina Bharti. When a man becomes refreshed by association with devotees and awake to Krishna consciousness, he consults the activities of his mind, namely thinking, feeling and willing, and decides whether he should return to his material activities or stay steady in spiritual consciousness. The word kushalam refers to that which is auspicious. One can make his home perfectly auspicious when he engages in devotional service to Lord Vishnu. When one is engaged in activities other than Vishnu Bhakti, or in other words, when one is engaged in material activities, he is always filled with anxiety. A sane man should consult his mind, his thinking, feeling and willing processes, and decide how these processes should be utilized. If one always thinks of Krishna, feels how to serve him and wills to execute the order of Krishna, it should be known that he has taken good instruction from his intelligence, which is called the mother. Although the king was refreshed, he nonetheless inquired about his wife. Thus he was consulting, thinking and willing how he could return to his state of deep consciousness. The mind may suggest that by the Vishaya Bhoga or sense enjoyment one can become happy. But when one becomes advanced in Krishna consciousness, he doesn't derive happiness from material activities. This is explained in Bhagavad Gita 2.59. Vishaya binivartante niraharasya dekhina rasa varcham rasopyasya param drishtva nivartate. The embodied soul may be restricted from sense enjoyment so that taste for sense objects remain. But seizing such engagement by experiencing a higher taste, he is fixed in consciousness. One cannot be unattached to the sense objects unless he finds better engagement in devotional service. param drishtvani vartate. One can cease from material activities only when one actually engages in devotional service. Lord Chidin. At that time, King Pranjan was a little anxious, and he inquired from the household women, "My dear beautiful women, are you and your mistress all very happy like before, or not?" At the beginning of Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada explained that when a man becomes refreshed by association with devotees and awakes to Krishna consciousness, he consults his own mind, the activities of his mind, namely thinking, feeling, and willing, and decides whether he should return to his material activities or stay steady in spiritual consciousness. I was thinking about it, and actually I just wanted to ask you if you had the same experience. Like, just remember when you just met devotees or just started your spiritual path, whatever. Because as I remember, when I was thinking, I would like to ask what you think about it. Because maybe just my speculation, maybe like you quote something from Srila Prabhupada. I learned from the speculation. It's my experience that like at the beginning, yes, because when you have something to compare with, yeah, you're getting higher test for the first time, like really higher test. And you go to your mind to ask if, yeah, like, so what should we do now?
Yeah.
And what I noticed, there was some other voice too. And that voice seems wasn't like really voice of an intelligence. It was some kind of voice in the heart, yeah? And as we know, we, like an individual soul, together with Paramatma, we both sit in the heart. So it can be also voice of Paramatma, as we know, and it's different from the voice of our mind. So when
our own mind.
Yeah, like our mind.
Yeah.
Because now, like, we consult our own mind. Yeah. And just as I remember at the beginning, when I just started to come to the Krishna consciousness, to Hare Krishna temple in Moscow,
yeah.
And I would wake up at 5 o'clock and take shower because I wanted to come for the Govinda Madhya Purusha. It was so exciting. And when they were dancing, so that was all I knew. I would come and I would dance and see it was so nice.
Yeah.
But at 5 o'clock, I would go to the shore and my mind wouldn't give me advice to come there. He would say, "Are you crazy?
Yeah.
You're getting into that sect. You're becoming Hare Krishna. Don't go there." But when I take cold shower and I just run there. So I remember that I didn't hear my mind because my mind was not giving me good advice.
Yeah.
My mind was not intelligent enough to give me good advice. But it felt in my heart. And Srila Prabhupada is explaining that these are activities of the mind. Thinking, willing, feeling and willing. Yeah? So still I think maybe it was my mind, but another activity of my mind, feeling, it felt good. Yeah?
Right.
So by thinking, my mind couldn't understand how I can get any good from becoming a sectarian. Yeah? But it felt good, so I decided to come. So maybe it was still my mind, yeah, not Paramatma.
Well, one thing is that the mind takes direction from the intelligence. If the intelligence is above the mind, the problem in material life is that the intelligence is degraded and it's not in control of the mind in a spiritual way. But the mind is meant to take the superior direction from the intelligence, and the intelligence, Prabhupada said, it is the next door neighbor of the soul. So when Krishna starts bringing you to the temple, it's not that you just happen to come to the temple one day. Krishna brings you to the temple, connects you with devotional service, and then Krishna constantly gives you, like when you wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning, you think, "Oh, I don't want to go there, it's a sect, this and that," but your higher intelligence from the next door name of the soul, which is intimately related with the super soul, the Paramatma, you're getting directions from Krishna. Krishna saying, yeah, go to the temple. It's nice at the temple. So that, you know, you're getting directions from the super soul through the intelligence, and the intelligence gives direction to the mind.
I remember
this exact experience, exactly what Prabhupada said. He consults the activity when he awakes to Krishna consciousness. And before that, there's no choice to make. You know what you're doing, or maybe you don't know what you're doing, but you know you don't have any choice to make. You're in material life. You're in material consciousness. That's all you know. But when you start coming to the temple, and you start hearing from the devotees and from the shastras, then it becomes obvious that you have a choice to make. There's always a choice. And then you start to think. That's why most people, they start coming to the temple and they get scared, because they know that Krishna consciousness is really heavy. And they start getting scared of it. God wants me to surrender. I wasn't expecting this. I like the prasad. So people get nervous, they get scared, and they try to run away. Of course, Krishna doesn't let them get very far.
Krishna sends devotees. next heavy artillery, devotees.
Trying to get away. So when you start to hear about Krishna consciousness, then exactly what you say, you start consulting your mind. Should I do it or shouldn't I do it? But before that, there's no choice.
I 15 years ago, I started chanting on the rules again. I started chanting around the on the rules, and I definitely felt a major relief. My mind, I actually began to feel some contentment, and before I was just suffering. And so I definitely felt contentment. But before that, in 1980, when I moved in, and most of my devotional service before that, really wasn't the mind. The mind is actually where the consciousness sits. It's in the mind. That's why the mind is considered the mode of goodness, is where consciousness is, and the senses. And frankly, I guess it was all, to be totally honest, it was all pretty much a rationalization, intellectual, that I really believed if I did this, I would eventually overcome suffering. I had strong faith in that, but I was still pretty miserable because I was still suffering. I was just trying to get over it. But I must have got over it. I experienced, sometimes I had a really great, intense experience. But I didn't really ever feel that peacefulness that I felt when I started again 15 years ago.
I just also remember about that Paramatma voice. This I read in a letter of Niranjana Swami to his disciples. It was 1 year when he didn't come for his Vyasa Puja because he was really sick. Like maybe 2006 or 7 or 8. And he sent, I think, video message to his disciples. And it's not exactly, but I didn't find it. So he is saying that to make quick progress in Krishna consciousness, one has to have both things, like confirmation what he is doing from the Chaitya Guru, Krishna in his heart, and the same should be confirmed by living like Guru Sadhu Shastra. If it's only in your heart, but Guru Shastra says different. He said it will be very difficult to make advancement of Krishna consciousness. So he said it should be confirmed, that Paramatma voice should be confirmed. That's how I remember that. Yeah, because maybe just my mind. Like pretending it's like Paramatma.
I mean, if you're getting direction, if you're hearing the advice, you should go to the temple and chant japa and worship the deity, and you can be pretty sure that's pretty good advice. If your mind is telling you should go to the temple and you'll be the guru, right, as you go into the temple, but it's mixed up with, you know, the, you can hear anything in your mind. The mind can tell you anything, and it can be mixed up with good instruction.
Yeah.
You know, so it has to be confirmed by Guru, Sadhu, Shastra.
This is, in a big language, actually, this shows that devotees are very philosophical, though. In a big language, it's called epistemology. How do I know that I really know? I might think I know, but how do I really know? And so this is the real test. How do I really know that this is real? It's because my mind, I have satisfaction from this that is greater than material satisfaction. So I'm actually experiencing something very real, and that's how I know that I'm not just talking myself into it. It's not just something I'm imagining. It has to be real, or how could I stop my sense gratification?
Yeah, the proof of a pudding in its state. Okay, so and then so Prabhupada is saying that, I just also wanted to ask you. One can make his home perfectly auspicious when he engages in devotional service toward Krishna. What does that mean? How our home can become perfectly auspicious when we engage in devotional service toward Krishna? Like, say, we didn't change anything, like, we live in the same family.
Like,
say, one takes to Krishna consciousness,
yeah.
Just
end. Yeah, and your home is like the temple.
Same anxieties, same problems.
Yeah, there's so many really good householders out there, and they keep their home at Piyari. He made his home at a temple, and there's so many really good householders out there who go to their house, and it's really nice, because it's just like coming to a temple.
It's like, you know, sometimes, like, people from outside, they come, and one, like, family man decides to take to Krishna consciousness. Maybe he lives in a family called not Krishna consciousness.
Yeah.
Yeah, so how his house becomes perfectly auspicious.
Yeah, maybe his room, in the house, if they have their own room in the house, he can make his room. And I know when I first started coming to the temple, I got really fired up, and I painted the walls of my room blue, Krishna's blue. And I took out all the stuff that wasn't Krishna conscious. And yeah, I mean, the rest of the house was the same as it always was, but you know, I tried to make my room sort of like a temple.
Thank you. I just was thinking about it, because it becomes perfectly auspicious, but also for us, we want to understand. Sometimes when they don't have strong faith, yes, you have to understand how it is.
It might be because if we're trying to become Krishna conscious, then all the difficulties, or we're able to at least understand that materially there's lots of difficulties. And if a person isn't trying to become Krishna conscious, they're taking all the difficulty and they're not even aware of it. They're just like an animal that's suffering and doesn't even know it. But in Krishna consciousness, so we're doing things and we may be some anxieties, but at least we're understanding, well, the material world is full of anxiety, so that's also auspicious.
I was thinking on like how you were thinking, because Srila Prabhupada is saying that when one is engaged in activities other than Vishnu Bhakti, or in other words, when one is engaged in material activities, he is always filled with anxiety. Yeah? So it can not change externally, like our life, when they just come and join, yeah? But our anxieties will be different. We will be in anxiety how to sort Krishna better, yeah? And in our house, too, we will do the same thing. And before we were in anxiety how to better serve myself, or extended myself, like my family, the society. And so in this way, you become free of anxieties of yourself, because Krishna now takes care of you and you take care of him, right? It can be explained deeper, yeah, but I just have one or two. Okay, we don't have much time. I stay with the woman. then Srila Prabhupada is saying that material activities will not give happiness. Yeah, and you know why? Because we got some higher taste. So now whatever we do, we will not get any happiness, like real one. Why we taste it something higher? Okay, just last point. Then, like Srila Prabhupada was saying, watching Bhagavad Gita, the embodied soul may be restricted from sense enjoyment, so that taste for the sense object remains. But seeking such engagement by experiencing a higher taste, he is fixed in consciousness. And we can see that nowadays not so many people who even try to restrict themselves from sense enjoyment. So we know that before, like yogis who were engaged like in Hatha Yoga, mystic yoga process, Dhyana Yoga, they were trying to restrict themselves. And then nowadays, I just wanted to say, like, we see so many people who practice externally Hatha Yoga, but the goal is to get more enjoyment. Yeah, even they become vegan, just to look younger, to feel better, yeah? And they do something just to get more enjoyment. So it's not for the, like, to get even liberation. It's just the same. So it's like, they do the process which before were meant to
The yoga teachers, they present it like that very often. You do yoga, it'll help you enjoy better.
When I was a brahmachari, 18 to 21, just the fact that I was able to follow the four regular principles and get up on the morning program and go out and sell books every day, even though I made up all I was feeling maybe was struggling, but I had to be experiencing something down deep just to be able to do that. I had to be, you know, more than even one day I could not have done that if I wasn't experiencing something. You know, all I might have known was I was experiencing struggle, but there must have been something there, or I wouldn't have been able to do that for 3 years or even probably even one day. So it had to be there.
Okay, to conclude, we need higher taste to give up material enjoyment. So, as Srila Prabhupada is saying, seeking such engagement by experiencing higher taste, then he is fixed in consciousness. Because we can try to restrict ourselves. No, taste remains. Even we can see, we can practice many years, and we can externally make some even advancements, like our sadhana can be strong or whatever. But taste remains, because we are in the association of devotees. If you try to go in the association of non-devotees, we'll get back. So it's like, as I said, first we need higher taste to attract, then higher taste is we got it, we need to cultivate it, and to cultivate, then we need sadhu sangha. Without sadhu sangha, we will remember the higher taste, but, you know, in the association of people, in materialistic people, will remain in the And also Krishna, I talk to some people, who they say, like on the street, they say, oh, we know you, Hare Krishna, like, during the Harinam. I met you in 70s, and it was one man, he was coming in Austin. I love your food.
Yes.
And I asked him, do you remember any of the devotees there? He said, oh, no, I don't. I was coming there just for food. So if you don't make relationship actually bound you to this place. Yeah, when you think, how can I leave that person? He or she is so nice. And like, I'm actually enjoying, they're dancing together, or they're like studying Bhagavad Gita together, like whatever, doing this, that together. Yeah, so devotional service is so powerful, especially in the association of the devotees. Okay, anybody wants to say something?
That's why Prabhupada made temples so we could stay there.
Okay. So for Baba Kim,
Jai. Jai.